right, time to saddle up on the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ed Alexander, our friend on the other side of the glass, is with us. Ed and I welcome you all to the Buckmaster Show for this Tuesday, June the 9th, 2015, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have our podcasts and complete show archive at buckmastershow.com. That's available for you anytime, anywhere. And today's show will begin with our man in Washington, Terry Bracey. Then 20 minutes past the hour, Tuesday Moneymaker Report. And Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, just gave me a thumbs on the horizon. So basically, the market looks like it's pretty much flat again. At 30 minutes past the hour, Bill Beard joins us. Bill is very, very excited. He's the chairman of the Pima County Republican Party. He's very excited about the slate of Republican candidates. There are three of them that are up running in the three council seats that are at stake in the fall. Then we'll close out the show with the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Margaret Regan, the Tucson Weekly arts writer and the Buckmaster arts contributor, will join us for that. The live line number is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. Joining us now from Washington, D.C. on the live line, Terry Bracey. Terry's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project, a couple of their key clients. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. Congratulations on being in the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I feel like I know somebody important.
I'm too young to be a Hall of Famer, aren't I?
Oh, my. Talk about Hall of Fame. Your Cubs came to town last week and took 3 out of 4 from the Nats, you know, who were preseason favorites to go to the World Series. But I'll tell you what, this Cubs team is amazing. This kid Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, your first baseman, we couldn't get him out. He had 2 or 3 home runs, doubles. We could not get him out, and then this pitcher, Hamels, just absolutely handcuffed the Nats. I am so impressed with the Cubs. I think they're going to the playoffs.
Wow. Hope does spring eternal. The Cub fans have been there before, but can't seem to close it out. Terry, I want to cover three developments today. The first is the huge and growing size of the Republican presidential field. It's well over a dozen candidates. As someone who has been involved in managing presidential efforts, what inspires these long shot candidates to get involved when everybody knows they don't really have a chance?
Well, Bill, first of all, my years in presidential politics were back in the colonial days. So I have to say, it seems like, you know, you think of 72, 76, 80, and 84 were my years, but it's changed so much and so dramatically. I asked the same question around town of my Democratic and Republican friends, and the answers I get are three. First, Republicans obviously feel that the Democratic likely nominee, Hillary Clinton, is very vulnerable, more so maybe than Democrats feel. Secondly, the nature of the media and the resulting exposure that you get has changed so much in the internet age, guaranteeing almost everybody some level of exposure, which really wasn't the case in the years that I did it. We had a few networks, and really the network directors and whatnot determined who was, quote, a serious candidate. You had 4 or 5 of the boys on the bus, they called them, who were the important reporters who would decide who was, quote, serious, and they would get all the time. And so in that era, you had the networks picking out who was important, plus you had television advertising were the two big factors. Today, the Internet has changed absolutely everything, and people can get on the Internet, and they can advertise for nothing. And, you know, it's a new open door in politics, and that you know, a lot of ambitious people, and it creates a big field. Finally, and maybe the most important thing, is that the campaign finance rules now allow, really, Bill, a billionaire to put up his or her own candidate.
Mm-hmm.
No need for a broad base of contributors like we had in the old days. Ronald Reagan had to go out and get contributors in 50 states, and Jimmy Carter and past presidents. Now you just need that billionaire because there are no limits on spending.
Terry, there are a couple very important cases before the Supreme Court. They're kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop, and both pertaining to electoral policies, and one of them could really impact Arizona. What is that one all about, if you can kind of give us the bottom line on that?
Well, the Arizona case has been argued but not decided. It's a case brought by the Arizona legislature, which seeks to throw out the Independent Election Commission, which was approved by a statewide referendum. So basically, Republican legislators object to districts drawn by the commission, and ironically are trying to use the U.S. Constitution to overrule their own voters. And yet, they may well win, because it sounded from the oral arguments like they had a lot of members of that court who were agreeing with them. It's a very important case. Bill, there's a second case brought by the Texas Republican Party, which would overturn the historic Baker versus Carr one-man-one-vote principle. The plaintiffs there argue when calculating population for the purposes of drawing electoral districts, the counting should not include children or immigrants or felons and other non-voters. Instead, they argue that only eligible voters should be counted. So in the past, go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, it sort of sounds kind of obvious, right? Not including children or, I don't know. Go ahead. I'm sorry to cut you off there.
Well, the general population is usually what's counted.
Okay.
So you have about 500,000 people in a congressional district, and that's the way after each census it's divided up. Under this principle, you would count not those general population, you would count only those who are eligible to vote.
Hmm.
And it really changes the nature of the electorate, and experts feel that it would move more power to the suburban and rural districts, which also happen to vote more Republican.
Terry Bracey is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Terry, can you take a quick call? John,
sure.
John has been waiting very patiently to speak with you. Go ahead, John. You're with Terry Bracey.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I had a question about the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I wasn't able to call last time when Terry was on the show with Shelley. So my question is, the Center for Economic Policy Research did a study saying that the TPP would result in wage cuts for the vast majority of Americans. Why is the TPP a good idea, given that our economy suffers from a lack of demand from our citizens not having the money to stimulate the economy, let alone the fact that our elected officials can't view the agreement or discuss it, and the agreement has sticky points like the investor state dispute system that, you know, undermines our country's sovereignty at taxpayers' expense. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, John.
Well, I take it John doesn't like the trade agreement. John, you make a lot of good points. I just report on what's happening here in Washington. I didn't report as an advocate of the Pacific Trade Agreement. My main point, and there are a lot of argumentation, the economic group that you mentioned is a very viable, credible, but very left-wing group. So that's one side of the story. There are other economic models that have been built by other interests. Nonetheless, there are a lot of complaints like those you've aired. That notwithstanding, the point I was trying to make about our trade policy is that it's another projection of American influence that doesn't require guns, and that one of the important things about trade as we turn towards the Pacific is that in the absence of a strong trade policy, A, we're going to miss the biggest market in the next century, and second, we might get ourselves into a lot more military conflicts than otherwise. People who trade together generally don't fight.
Okay. Terry, thank you for answering John's question. And there was a third point I wanted to bring up with you. What did you think of the president's speech? It was about exceptionalism that he gave in Selma, Alabama, fairly recently.
Well, I thought it was amazing. I really did. I'm not one to sit down and watch speeches on YouTube, but I spent a half an hour listening to this after I read a story about it at the Washington Post. This was, first of all, I don't like the term American exceptionalism. I think it's a strange way to express our love of country and our pride in what we are. But in any event, it was President Obama's interpretation of what American history really is. And it was seen through the eyes, you know, not so much of the people we've learned about in our civics courses and whatnot, but rather he saw a society that where the slaves built the economy of the South and the ranch hands and the railroad workers and the natives built the West. It's a very interesting window in American history, Bill, and I would highly recommend that our listeners take a half an hour, go on YouTube, and listen to it. It's an interesting lesson in American history.
Okay, Terry, before we send you on your way, you're very busy today. I appreciate you taking 10 minutes out of your afternoon with us. Washington used to kind of shut down, didn't it, Terry, in the summertime?
It did. It did.
Not anymore.
The old colonial South, you know. They said this was so they had northern charm and forget it.
Yeah.
It used to be a really a southern town.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, before air conditioning, everybody got out of here in the summer. But air conditioning has kept people around more than usual, but generally it's a sleepy time, except not so much this year.
All right, Terry Bracey with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. And I really appreciate you taking the time, Terry, to speak with us. We've got Shelley Fishman coming up. Terry, have a great afternoon.
Okay. Hello, Shelley. Have a good time.
All right. Thanks a lot. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show. It is our Tuesday edition. Shelley Fishman is up next, and we'll ask him how in the world is he going to keep to his prediction of a market going 7-10 to the north side percent midway through the year. We are flat. Be right back. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering its promises, completing 149 out of 200 intersection improvements, 48 of 80 pedestrian safety crossings, 108 of 200 bus pullouts, and 226 miles of 500 promised bike lanes. Since the 2006 voter approval of the RTA plan, some 650 projects are completed. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $99 per month. Plus, get your first month free. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 8/30/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Bill Buckmaster with you, and I certainly recommend Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how is your week going? I know we're young into the week, but how's it going so far?
Well, it's Tuesday, and the market isn't down. Of course, it's not up either, but yeah, I think what we're seeing is some clarification of people's expectations about the uncertainty in the balance of the year. And those, you know, that uncertainty kind of falls into two main areas, maybe a third as well. But one is what's going to happen in Europe. What's going to happen with Greece? The other is what's the Fed going to do with interest rates? And the third, and they're kind of related, has to do with the relationship of the dollar to the euro and other foreign currencies. With the dollar being very, very strong, it's really had an effect on our ability to export our manufactured goods, and that's slowed down a little bit. Price of oil, seems to be stabilizing somewhere, but those are the things that are working against the kind of growth that we'd like to have. We're a point and a half lower than we probably forecasted we would be in terms of GDP growth this year.
So both the dollar and this unexpected drop, I'm going back now about 6 months, mm-hmm. and it was unexpected, and the dollar had a big surge, kind of has slowed the projection, because your projection was 7-10% at the end of this year that the market
growth. Projection for GDP growth was 3-3.5%, and it looks like we're going to be a point below that. We wound up being actually negative in the first quarter. There's lots of reasons for it, but the fragile nature of the recovery is really weighing on the ability of the economy to take a look at its basics and its fundamentals and move on those. So you get a combination of a strong dollar and a rotten winter weather-wise, and then a strike in the ports in California, and those things just torpedoed growth in the first quarter. That has a stultifying effect on people's attitudes, and markets are so very much, related to people's attitudes. We like to talk about markets being rational, but they're not. Mm-hmm. Markets are really very irrational in so many ways. That what we're seeing now is people kind of hanging back. We're seeing low trading volumes. we're seeing the, you know, the big traders wanting to get some definition around what's going to happen before they make commitments. We're also seeing, interestingly, simultaneous cutbacks or drops in prices in bonds and stocks. When that happens at the same time, you get a little bit concerned. But, you know, when you take a look at both the number of job openings, you take a look at the jobs report last Friday, which was spectacular, and you take a look at corporate profits, and you scratch your head and say, well, this is pretty good news. What's going on?
So for folks who are invested, say, in a kind of a traditional bond equity equation, whether it be 70-30 or something else in that, their portfolios have been flat as well.
Take an Ambien and go to sleep. There's haven right now. There's no place to hide.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to try to time the market and flee to cash. If your advisor has kept you in, you know, a certain amount of cash that you can make use of to take advantage of very low days, bad days, so that you're kind of buying on weakness, that's a good idea. I read an article just, I think it was late last week, it might have been over the weekend in the Sunday Times, about margin, the rates of margin in the country right now are as high as they've ever been. So a lot of people who are investing are investing by borrowing the money from their broker-dealers. Now, that is normally considered a pretty dangerous thing to do, especially, of course, in the case that the markets are low and stay low, because the margin interest typically is pretty high.
Shelley Fishman is with us. This is our Certified Financial Planner. We always welcome Shelley at about 20 minutes past the hour, the noon hour, every Tuesday. So what is a good short-term strategy? You just said that really it's tough to find a traditional safe haven.
Right. So the best thing is to have an allocation that represents the timing of your needs. So if you're in retirement, then you better be invested in stuff that's, regardless of what the fundamental price is going to continue to pay you the income that you need. So it doesn't matter what happens to the principal, so long as the dividends are being paid, and then you can wait through a downward period. If you're in it for the long run, then, you know, you ignore these bumps and grinds. They don't count. What investors will do in these kinds of circumstances is try to find sectors of the economy that are immune to this kind of uncertainty. And even there, we're seeing some difficulty. For instance, utilities used to be a great haven because they were rock solid and they wouldn't move up and down with interest rates. But they are now. So the utility sector hasn't done well. It's gone down. Transportation has gone down.
How about energy?
Well, energy has been problematic because of the price of oil. So you're seeing layoffs in the industry, especially in the field maintenance and that kind of thing. Where we're seeing some continued strength, interestingly, is the financial industry, is in banking and finance. That seems to have done well despite the uncertainty over regulations. So it's very difficult to make those kinds of adjustments midstream. You really do need to, especially if you've got an advisor who is tuned in to the large management groups and large management companies that are making adjustments constantly in people's portfolios, then if you're not in one of those kinds of plans, then mimicking some of those plans might actually not be a bad idea. Though, you know, by the time the big managers have done it, it's public knowledge and
yeah.
You know, the efficient market theses will
the wind is out of the sails.
Yeah,
right?
By the time you've done it, it's too late.
Yeah. Quickly, you had mentioned the strike of the longshoremen. Mm-hmm. Is that still going on?
No. Okay. No, it's over.
Maybe that happened while I was away on vacation, a settlement or something happened.
Yes. But
we had ships stacked up.
We did. And what happened, of course, was people's ability to restock after the Christmas season was impeded, and that combined with the bad weather just made the amount of goods available for selling somewhat limited, and at a time when what we needed was more inventory to lower prices, because we still have a situation where people don't feel that they have the expendable cash, that they have the amount of money they need to consume. Remember, this is a 70% consumer economy, and if people don't feel good about consuming, then that affects the whole economy. Now, what we are seeing is, you know, some reversal of that. We're seeing, for instance, automotive industry is going to have its best year in like forever. We're seeing durables and reinvestment in stuff that people have been hesitant to buy. But a lot of that stuff, you know, wears out and you got to buy it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your refrigerator breaks, if your washing machine breaks, if your tractor breaks, yeah, you got to replace it. So we're seeing some of that in just the aging of the stuff that's already in service.
All right, Shelley Fishman, where can people find you?
BuckmasterShow.com.
Thank you very much, Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Hello?
Getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Yeah, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 650 projects to date, including pedestrian safety crossings, intersection safety improvements, and bus pullouts, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Tuesday edition. We're pushing toward 12:34 on AM 1030 KVOI at Tucson's Voice, with live streaming at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Joining me in studio is Bill Beard. Mr. Beard is the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Bill, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Thank you for coming by. I wanted to kind of meet with you on the air before we meet the three candidates who are, well, probably, most likely, I think everybody agrees, it's going to be competitive at least this time around.
You know, I'm a native of Tucson, and I love this place. This will always be home. And as chairman, I take no small amount of pride in the fact that we've got three candidates here that I think as a team will have the potential. And this is not something that is, you know, imagined only in Republican minds. This is a real potential to change Tucson, because when you look at these three candidates, Margaret Burkholder in Ward 4, Kelly Lawton in Ward 2, and Bill Hunt in Ward 1, combined they have both the personal and professional experience that this city has been crying out for a long time to start changing the direction. For years, it's almost like our city council has spent all its time, instead of worrying about where Tucson is going, what is the destination, they've taken all of us into these blind alleys arguing about the means of getting from point A to point B. And when you start down that kind of discussion road, you end up in these blind alleys that, politically speaking, it may be beneficial to the powers that be, but for the average citizen, they're saying, what are you idiots doing down there? Because, you know, this is not something that someone in the political realm has dreamed up. You cannot drive down any street in the city of Tucson and not say, we've got the worst roads in the Southwest United States. You cannot look at, the average person that calls 911 and in the case of police, you're told to, you know, if it's a property crime, go to our website and fill out the information. An officer will get back to you sometime in the next 2 to 3 weeks. That is something that I think the average citizen says, the people in charge don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You've got city parks that are an embarrassment because not because of any one thing, but it's a series of things that the city council has done over the years that has led to this situation. We've got 1 in 4 of our citizens living in poverty. That is not something that you do as this is the destination for the city of Tucson, but that's where we've arrived because of the people in charge making poor decisions one after the other, year after year. It is time to put some people in charge that truly understand it's about making tough decisions. Margaret Burkholder. She is a school teacher by trade. She spent the last 10 years on the Vail School Board. When she got on that board, Vail was ranked in the 50th percentile for all school districts in the state of Arizona. Today, it's at the very top. You don't get there by making poor decisions. You get there by making decisions based upon what is the end result. Do the students truly achieve at the goals that we've set for them? And in the Vail School District, they did that. And she wants to bring that same sense of making good decisions for the benefit of all of Tucson to the city council. Kelly Lawton, he spent years working for the airline industry, helping them work on their training programs for their employees, thousands of employees. He made sure that the system was running efficiently, and the systems at the end of the process actually produced employees that understood this is about safety for the public, safety for the airline, etc. He now works for Embry-Riddle, a university that is dedicated to bringing higher education to our military. In Ward 1, you've got Bill Hunt, a gentleman that a former fighter pilot that today is a software engineer for Raytheon, and his job on a daily basis is figuring out how to make things work. He's given the problem. We've got this missile. We've got this software that's not working correctly. We need to figure out how to make it work so that the end product comes out the way we want it to. All three of them have the life history, the personal history, the professional history to actually do the things necessary to bring Tucson forward to a future where we all want to have good jobs. We can get to and from our jobs, from our to our schools, etc., on decent roads. When we pick up the phone to call 911, we actually can get a response. The police and fire, parks. It doesn't matter what it happens to be. Those are the things the average citizen wants. This is not a political question. That's the reality for everybody in Tucson.
Bill Beard is with us. Bill is the chair of the Republican Party in Pima County. So if you get one, maybe two, or even three wins there in those three council races, can even one or two make a difference on the council?
Well, frankly, I there's no reason on God's green earth where all three cannot be elected. Because when
could
you compare,
three make a difference being in the minority?
I truly believe so. Mm-hmm. The power on the city council, it rests with the city council. And, take a look at a couple of weeks ago. They were beginning the discussions with the budget. Councilmember Kozacik, and yes, the Republican Party has some problems with Mr. Kozacik, but when he's right, I will credit him with this. He actually made the motion to ask that city staff come back to the mayor and council with a proposal to reduce spending from the general fund by 2%, excluding public safety. He couldn't even get a second to begin the discussion of why that would be important. After he made his motion, Councilmember Ulick launched as if basically on a long tirade, suggesting that to cut 2% out of the general fund would devastate all the remaining budgets across the city of Tucson. Councilmember Kozacik actually raised the issue. Well, if this is such a devastating problem, on average, every department in the city of Tucson reduces through attrition 1-3% of its payroll each year. Now, if you're only going to reduce it by 2%, I don't see devastating cuts coming as a result of that. It comes down to making good, sound decisions. Part of that discussion with the city council a couple weeks ago was that there was a memo based on some questions that Councilmember Kozacik made to city staff asking them what would happen if we did X, Y, and Z. One of the questions actually asked was, describe the status of Tucson Fire Department vehicles and the implications for the safety of the public in terms of service delivery. The response from Martha Durkin, the interim city manager, the person that mayor and council have decided, this is who we want to run the city. This is how this works in the city of Tucson. I'll read you just part of what she said in response. Let's see. The combination is having a direct impact on our ability to provide safe vehicles for emergency operations. If we identified funding today, by the time the new vehicles are placed into service, 76% of our pumper fleet, 93% of our paramedic fleet, and 33% of our ladder fleet will be in need of replacement. She is telling mayor and council, because of years of poor decision, you've been putting money into everything but the basics that are needed to maintain the infrastructure of this city. This same time a year from now, 93% of our paramedic unit vehicles will be in need of replacement, essentially saying to mayor and council, if one citizen happens to call 911 and it happens to be dispatched that day, the paramedic unit that has had some serious maintenance issues can't make it to the emergency call because the mayor and council have made some poor decisions, I would say that is a priority that is screaming for immediate response. Yet when Councilmember Ulick went on her long tirade against Steve Kozacik, she didn't even address any of this. This would be devastating cuts to all the different departments in the city. I'm sorry, folks, that doesn't add up.
All right, Bill Beard with us, the GOP chairman of Pima County. Bill, thank you very much. We'll be meeting your three candidates in the coming weeks here on the Buckmaster Show. And, of course, we will be extending an invitation to both of the candidates in the general election, both being from each of the council ward elections, to have a little bit of a back and forth here on the Buckmaster Show. So, Bill, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up now on 12:43 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the show brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, it's just 3 hours east of Tucson to the very cool climes of southern southwest New Mexico, where the elevation's about 6,000 feet. That means nice cool nights and very pleasant days. You can find out about the many places to stay, like Gila Hot Springs Ranch and Continental Divide RV Park, by going to southwestnewmexico.org. The full listing of great places to stay and things to do in Silver City. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for the Buckmaster Show. We'll have a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Also, the Cathedral Plaza proposal for downtown Tucson. Can it become a reality? Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world, live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, dedicated to providing entertainment choices that appeal to the diverse interests of our Southern Arizona community. Fox very excited to present the just released 2015 fall season of shows. It is a very good one. Member pre-sale going on through June 15th, and the public on sale begins on June 15th at noon. But the lineup is really impressive. You have comedian Dana Carvey on Friday, September the 18th, the National Circus and Acrobats of China presenting Peking Dreams on September 24th, the incomparable music of Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall coming September 26th, fan favorites Emmylou Harris and Rodney Cromwell performing on September the 27th. The list goes on and on. It's going to be a great fall season. For more information, visit foxtucson.com. Let's welcome now Margaret Regan. She is the Tucson Weekly arts writer, and she's also the arts contributor to the Buckmaster Show. She is the author of two very popular books. Her latest book is titled Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Margaret, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks. How are you doing?
Doing very well. The Arizona State Museum on the U of A campus. That always gets kind of confusing, the name Arizona State Museum. People think, well, oh, are you talking about ASU's museum? No, we're talking about the state of Arizona's museum.
Right. Well, it is related to the state, but it's also related to the University of Arizona. And we're very lucky to have it right here in Tucson.
We certainly are.
Treasure house of wonderful pots and baskets and all kinds of things.
They just had a very successful show of the Edward S. Curtis, the kind of premier photographer of Native Americans at the turn of the century. The new show is called Intimacy of Faith, Devotional Retablos and Ex Votos. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yes, it is.
Ex Votos from Mexico. And you're going to be writing about this.
Yeah, I have. I've written my story. It's going to be in the paper in the Tucson Weekly this week, starting tomorrow night, I think, online. Fascinating show. It's actually the collection of Gloria Fraser Giffords, who, as we all know, is a well-known Tucsonan, the mother of Gabrielle Giffords. She and her husband, late husband Spencer, collected these small folkloric religious paintings for years in Mexico. They have a marvelous and large, large collection. And 300 of these pieces are right now at the Arizona State Museum in a very sumptuous show.
Santo Niño de Atocha,
yeah.
The patron saint of migrants. You write about Santo Niño, and I've been to the shrine to Santo Niño over in Chimayo in New Mexico, the sanctuary over there, and I'm kind of a big fan of Santo Niño, so I've got to check this out. And you write a little bit about Santo Niño in this piece.
Yeah, I do. Now, he, of course, is not the only saint depicted in these many marvelous works, but he's somebody that's close to my heart because he's the patron saint of the migrants traveling in the desert, who are also close to my heart. And, you know, Michael Brescia is the lead curator on this show. He's the associate director of the museum, and he's a PhD in history and extremely knowledgeable. And he explained to me, you know, the whole journey of the Santo Niño from folkloric and religious belief in Spain, and of course came over, that belief in him came over with the Spaniards to Mexico, and he just keeps evolving. He was originally a saint that helped women in their pregnancies because he was a little child. He's the Christ child, and he turned out well, so women would pray to him when they were pregnant. Then he would visit prisoners at night and bring them food in Spain, and over in Mexico, he became the saint who helped miners in mining disasters. But he's always dressed as a traveler because he goes out at night to do his merciful deeds and to give food and succor to people. So that's how the migrants became attached to him, because he's still dressed as a little pilgrim. He wears a hat, carries a walking stick, and a little basket of food. So you can find images to him, you know, dropped on migrant trails and in migrant shrines. But so it's wonderful to see him here in his 19th century guise. In one of the paintings, he's helping a man who's about to be shot by a bandit in a forest. And there's a painting that goes all the way up to the 1960s This is a hilarious little painting where a man suffered from gas pains after drinking Coca-Cola. And the painting shows him, you know, drinking the Coca-Cola in this Mexican street. But he prayed to Santo Niño, and Santo Niño gave him relief. So even today, he's helping people. So it's a very interesting practice. You know, people have these paintings commissioned in thanksgiving for a favor from a saint. So if you pray to a saint to help you with your gas pains and you're relieved, then you get this painting made that shows your agony and now your ecstasy that you're cured.
Mrs. Giffords, Gloria Fraser Giffords, I first met her interviewing her on the TV show way back in 1993 when there was a revised edition of her book on the retablo. She is considered really the world expert in this area, isn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I was thrilled to hear that you had interviewed her so long ago. You know, they have a copy of that book. Her book on retablos at the exhibition, and I think the earliest edition came out in the 1970s. So I'm glad to hear that it was revised, and I don't know if it's still available from University of Arizona Press, but I'm sure it's worth a read.
It's one of my prized autograph possessions, that book, and it's so beautifully done. And what is the difference, Margaret Regan, between a devotional retablo and the ex votos?
Right. Okay. Well, again, Dr. Michael Brescia helped me understand this. The retablos are basically like a religious painting that you would see in a church. They have nothing to do with your personal problems. It's a generic Santo Niño or a generic Virgin of Guadalupe. And he said that, you know, originally retablo is from the Latin for behind the altar, and that word referred to these very large and luxurious paintings that we see in European cathedrals. You know the retablo of Ciudad Rodriguez, I think it's called, over at the University of Arizona Museum of Art.
Mm-hmm.
So they have that word. But then after the Reformation and the Catholic Church was trying to reestablish itself in the Counter-Reformation, they encouraged home worship. They wanted to revitalize this belief in the saints and the Virgin Mary, which, you know, the Protestants had rejected. So there began a new tradition, even though retablo still means behind the altar. They're little, small pictures that you can have in your own home of the saints, and you're encouraged to worship them. And then, you know, later in Mexico, 19th or early 20th century, there was a lot of anti-clericalism in Mexico, in which priests were not allowed to dress in their clerical garb on the streets, and a lot of worship also went into the home there. So that was another factor that encouraged these things. So we have those, and then the ex votos, that means from the vow. I make a vow when I have gas pains if I call on Santo Niño to help me. And if he succeeds in helping me, then I, out of my vow promising to honor him, I have a little painting made. So there's this whole category of these kind of self-taught artists who could make a living making these really delightful little paintings for people to commemorate their victories over illness.
I've only got about a minute left, Margaret Regan. Is this collection drawn from one individual, or is this different places?
This is mostly Gloria Fraser Giffords' collection.
Wow.
Almost everything in the show is her personal collection, and there are a few items that were contributed by the museum from their archive, but this is her collection. I mean, and it's an amazing piece of work over a lifetime for her to have accumulated all these paintings.
And this show is up through, actually, early next year.
Yeah, so, you know, they keep shows up for a long time, which is quite helpful there. Yeah, into January.
Thank you very much, Margaret.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Margaret Regan with us, the program, The Show, at the Arizona State Museum on the U of A campus, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Monday through Saturday. And again, that will run through January 11th, 2016. They are closed on Sundays. It's called Intimacy of Faith, Devotional Retablos and Ex Votos from Mexico on the U of A campus. Certainly would be a worthwhile outing. The Every Other Tuesday Arts Report on Buckmaster is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater. The fall lineup is very impressive. Fox members, ticket pre-sale going on now through June 15th. The public on sale begins June 15th at noon, and it is an exciting fall lineup. Let me give you a few of the performers that will be coming in. Dana Carey, Lila Downs, the National Circus and Acrobats of China. This is a show I'd like to see. Herb Alpert and Lanny Hall. Lanny Hall, one of the original members of Brazil 66. Jesse Cook is coming, UB40. And, of course, there'll be holiday shows, the Ten Tenors holiday show, and Christmas with the Rat Pack. All of that's coming up in the fall season at the Fox Theater. So for more information and to purchase tickets online, visit foxtucson.com. That's going to do it today, the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We have a full lineup of local talk programs here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We have Mike Shaw. Mike does his show for Tucson at 4. That's coming up from 4 to 5 this afternoon. Then, of course, 3 hours of local talk beginning at 6 a.m. with Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe holding down the fort, and then Christy Simone and a guest host every day from 8 to 9 in the morning. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ed Alexander, producing our program at 12:04 tomorrow. So until then, Ed and I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.
Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.